zeggen, als je wegwaait en de bijvaller voor zit zuiver, is het dan?
You mean it was white Sulus and black Sulus?
Right,
I mean, that was right there. Were there some problems going between Sulus? Yes, it was. But it was...
Hostility?
Yes, it was. But I might say that it was nothing... there were some racial fights at the school, but it was not a major kind of thing. Now, as far as hostility of the teachers at the school, I had no problems with those kinds of things. I was able to communicate with most people. I didn't have problems, and if they were problems, I never observed them because I knew what I was doing, I knew what I had to do, and I had no problems at all in communicating with anyone. I knew what I had to do, I knew what I had to do in this classroom. So I never encountered any of the kinds of problems even though the black teachers encountered. I didn't encounter those kinds of problems. There were some other teachers, some other black teachers, certainly did have some problems, and some of them didn't last a whole year. They left before the year was gone for some reasons. I don't know what the reasons were. They said they didn't get support from the principal, maybe because they were African Americans, but I didn't have a problem. And number one, I didn't send students to the office because I had my own some problems. And, I made it very clear to students initially what I was expecting of them, and really and truly, I had no problems with white students.
In the classroom situation, race is irrelevant,
right,
as far as the educating process.
So right.
The students were accepting of that. I mean,
right.
Do you think immigration affected the quality of education on either side?
I do think so. I certainly do think so, tremendously. And I think that initially, or at the beginning of immigration, I think that many of our black students felt that because of the tension that was going on in school, I think many white teachers were very apprehensive in dealing with black kids. Because black kids, many of them, like African American kids, were very vocal, might be threatened directly to some teachers. And because teachers, many white teachers felt that if the kid just kept quiet, not bother anybody, you'll pass. And I think some teachers, some kids, develop an attitude that, you know, Miss X says, if I don't get into trouble, she'll pass me. And of course, kids felt that that's the way of getting by. I don't do anything. I get by. And I think certainly it did have a tremendous effect upon the equality of our students, specifically black students. I'm not sure about white students so much in terms of whether they were affected that much. But I certainly felt black students were. I felt that many of the black students were not really motivated to really want to excel as they once were. In the black school, we kind of pushed our kids. We kind of demanded certain things. Getting into white schools, you could not do those kinds of things because kids felt so frequently that, you know, I don't want to harass anybody. Teachers felt like that, and therefore they're a little bit apprehensive in wanting to deal with some kids, specifically black kids. So I think that there was a big break there in terms of motivation.
Right, it's easier to just kind of
right,
let everything go.
Right, right. And just take the easy way out, you see. The laissez-faire kind of attitude, you know, just ease on. I think that difference between black students more than white students. This is from observation now. I don't have no research that verifies that.
For me, being from a different generation, it's difficult for me to see where there would have been any adverse effects of integration because I've never known anything else. You know, I grew up in Atlanta.
Right.
I was right in the middle of everything. There was a little bit of everything in my school system. But do you feel that for the black community, integration had any, you know, negative qualities or points? I mean, other than, as you just said, maybe affecting education.
Well, I think that that's one of the things that had a tremendous effect. I think number two was that integration might have affected many as far as mentor is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
There were very few black administrators beginning integration because, you know, when the black school closed, the principals became assistant principals.
The white schools,
you see. And as a result of that, this black kid, the African-American, had nobody to look up to say, you know, that's my mentor.
Yeah.
I always had to take the second seat because of the color of my skin. I could not be the principal of that school. I had to be the assistant principal of that school because of integration, you see. And this affected so often. I've been told that so often that the black principal might have had more experience, might have had more, you know, a lot more degrees,
better qualified for the job
than the white principal. But because of the color of his or her skin, he could not get that job. He had to go in as second, as assistant, you see.
Yeah.
Now, I must say, Scott, I never experienced those kinds of things because I happen to be very lucky, I guess.
You're also 6 feet seven tall.
I was able to, as I said, in 1970, I became vice principal at Anderson High School.
Mm-hmm. So that was 2 years, only 1 year after they had completely integrated the district.
Right. Well, it wasn't completely integrated. We still had two schools in Anderson. We had a black school. Anderson High was still a white school, but not a white school.
Yeah.
At that time, Anderson High School was 90% white and 10% black in 1970.
Mm-hmm.
I went there as vice principal of Anderson High School. I was the only vice principal there.
Mm-hmm.
This was what our board saw, that we needed a black administrator. Of course, I didn't apply for the job, you know. I guess, as I said before, I'm always being used. So they selected me to take the job. I did it reluctantly because I was not too sure that I really wanted this kind of thing. I enjoyed the classroom tremendously, and I did not want to leave the classroom with administration. But by persuasion of the superintendent, I accepted the job for 1 year, providing that if I didn't like the job as a vice principal, I could move back to the classroom. And, of course, after the first year, I didn't have a choice. They kept.
They made you stay.
Yes.
You did such a good job, they let you go. A friend of mine presented me with the argument that integration took the black community's opportunity to study and pass on its heritage and culture away from them and forced them to learn history and everything else from a white perspective. And she's my age, and she's bitter, you know, in that respect. And she feels that they lost part of what they should have learned from their heritage and their culture to a white man's point of view. Do you feel that that is accurate?
No. Not altogether. Because I said that to say this. I finished an all-black university, which was Tuskegee. And Tuskegee is almost at that time was all-black university. There was no white there, no white students, no white faculty members, anybody. As far as heritage is concerned, I guess that perhaps I did feel that I did get a very good background, say, of African-American heritage there. But as far as when I came here to start teaching, I was asked to teach a course in black studies. And I said that I didn't feel any more competent teaching black studies than you would feel, because what textbooks, all textbooks during the time that I was in school, were taught out of what? White authors, for the most part. I took one course, a when I was at Tuskegee, which is called A Negro History. The name of our textbook was The Negro Caravan, was the textbook. And by W.E.B. Du Bois. And I cannot say that I did learn a lot about African Americans from that, but I cannot say that my heritage was taken away from me, and I had to learn your heritage. Because I think this is the way it always had been. All my textbooks that I was taught on were my white philosophers.
White men philosophers.
Right. That is correct.
Right.
That is correct.
Yeah.
So you see, it wasn't that much written by African Americans during that time anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think that that much was taken from me.
Right. So it's more maybe it's more people from my generation who have more, you know, things to turn to in that respect.
That is true, and maybe during the people during your time felt that, you know, I did not get the opportunity to understand or to work and live with all blacks because I didn't have that opportunity. I had to live by the white man's rule.
Right.
That is not altogether true because I think that, you know, in your home, you know, my parents are black, and therefore many of these kinds of things were instilled into me by my parents. And I feel that, you know, every black family should have done that, you know. You didn't expect many of those kinds of, those principles and those kinds of things to be taught at school.
Yeah.
They were taught at home.
Yeah.
And mine was taught at home, you see.
Mm-hmm.
So I cannot say that.
Maybe that's just that family lacking.
Right,
in that
right. I cannot say that the white man usurped all of the culture
mm-hmm.
for me. I cannot say that.
Yeah.
Because I felt that, you know, I was able to get much from during the time, and I think even kids now who are your age, you know, you have the opportunity to hear many very outstanding black composers. You are quite familiar with many black actors. For example, one of our old ones, Sidney Poitier. I happen to know Sidney Poitier very well. I met him in New York during the years I was there. Also, James Baldwin, who was a black author, who wrote many good books, I might say, and some of his books were good because many of his books were not the average kind of books I would recommend, but I thought that he was very outstanding. There's Richard Wright, who also was a good writer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had several who came out during my day, and that's been 60, mm-hmm. Well, 62 years ago, but I'm saying they were very outstanding writers, I'm saying.
Wow.
So all of them did not vanish. But very little was written and published, as you know, about black authors. More is published now in this generation than was published during my day when I came along. So you see what I'm saying? I cannot say that these things were taken. I think now you have a better opportunity, your generation, people your age, and young blacks your age, have a greater opportunity to really understand the culture now better than I had, because when I was coming along, you know, those kinds of things were, or black authors were not writing very much.
Yeah, the resources weren't as memorable.
Right.
As
that is right, because they never had the opportunity, you see.
I've always felt that, and I've grown up in the South my entire life. I've always lived in Georgia, in Alabama, in Florida, Louisiana. I've been in that general area. I've always felt that no matter how people try to separate it, black and white heritage in the South is very, very entwined with each other because one depended on the other for so long. And I always thought that systems, you know, such as Jim Crow that developed, I never understood that.
Well, you see, not cutting you off, I agree with you there. I grew up there in Spring Garden.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, there were whites that lived in the area where I lived.
Mm-hmm.
We were best of friends. If someone got ill in the community, then we had many whites that we did blacks. At church there, we had many blacks. Whites came to our revival, came to our church. You know, we never had those kinds of problems.
Yeah.
I didn't see much of this hatred develop until later years, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Because we were back in the country in those woods.
Everybody was just
there. Everybody was family, you see.
Yeah.
And everyone was just like family.
Yeah.
And we didn't see these other kinds of things until we got out, you know. Everyone starts saying, you know, I cannot be associated. I cannot be called, you know, as the term was, a nigger lover. or I cannot become, or neither can I become an Oreo. Mm-hmm. As a black person, I can't be an Oreo.
Yeah.
And you cannot be a Negro lover, you see. These were the kinds of feelings that each had during the, I would say, the late 50s, early 60s, you see.